Let's talk cards. Zach Blackerby, Jamie Crossan here with you on today's edition of Let's Talk Cards. Apparently, we're doing some blind rankings. We're also going back to the which costs more. Sounds like you've got a few tricky ones there, so I'm sure I'll go 0 for 3 again, which is exciting. But is Jamie, exciting, give me an update on like what you're looking for right now. Like what, whether it's PC, whether it's, you know, maybe mid to long term hold for a flip, like grail tracking right now. Where are you at with that?
Yeah. As you know, I'm an avid LeBron James collector. Yes. My LeBron collection grows. So there's this card that I found in a lot while I was flipping. And it's a card that I absolutely fell in love with. It's a 2015 Panini Clear Vision. I actually have a picture of it. Now, it's what's unique about this card. You can kind of see it. It's an acetate.
Okay.
So it's an acetate, for those of you who don't know, is just kind of the see-through. It kind of has like a clear back. And it's for those of you listening, it's a picture of LeBron in his Cleveland uniform. It's the championship year. He's kind of, it looks like he's going for a fast break or something like that. It's just a really cool looking card. You ever find those cards that you're looking at and you think, oh man, I just really like this card. That's this card for me. Now the PSA 9s, they sell for about $26, $36. It's not an expensive card. And I've been looking for this card in a 10 ever since I got the raw that I sold. It wouldn't have gemmed. It was a nice
card. What year is it?
It's a 2015 Panini Clear Vision.
Okay.
And so the interesting thing about this card, Zach, there's 120 of these cards graded, but there is no record, according to Card Ladder, there's no record of a 10 ever selling.
And how many 10s are there?
There are only 10.
Wow.
Only 10. So when I say it's a grail,
clear cards is brutal. Those are super hard to gem.
For sure. So I would imagine that this wouldn't be an expensive card, but it's such a rare card. And the fact that it's never sold on the open market, at least according to Card Ladder, I'm sure it's probably transacted at shows and different things like that. Yeah, but the fact that there's only 10 lets you know that this is a rare card. So for me, this is, and I thought about this last week when we were talking about our grails. I thought, man, it is worth bringing up. So if you're listening and you happen to have a PSA 10 Panini Clear Vision, I will pay you well for that card because I really, really want it.
What do the 9s sell for? What is that worth?
$30.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So it's not an expensive card, but I mean, I would pay good money for a PSA 10.
I'm sure there's a premium for the low pop, but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Did you see the LeBron Superfractor for Topps Chrome this year?
Yes.
Do you see the picture of it being stickered for like $180,000 or something like that?
Yeah, I saw it. It's interesting that you bring that up because here in a few minutes, we're going to run back one of our niche staples in our Let's Talk Card pod, which costs more. And we're going to be super fractor heavy today, as a matter of fact.
Okay. One-on-one's action. Cool.
So what about you, man? Do you have some grails that you're chasing right now, whether it's a rare or like an expensive one?
Yeah. I talked about this a little bit when we went over, you know, me finding my grail at Collecticon a few weeks ago with the Skyridge PSA 10 Celebi. And I've kind of had a hard time like resetting on, you know, a massive grail. I'm watching a lot of Ike Irish stuff just for, you know, PC purposes. He's in the most recent Bowman draft. He played at Auburn and he's a prospect. He was a first round pick for the Baltimore Orioles. So I've been watching a lot of his stuff on eBay, and there's been a few of his like, you know, red out of fives that have dropped. And he has, you know, for us Auburn guys, like he has an Auburn like college variation. There's one number to five that's on it right now. It's still like way too high in my opinion, but I've been looking at his stuff a lot. But yeah, I haven't like set my sights on like a new goal quite yet. I'm still kind of seeing what grabs me, you know?
I mean, it's when you reach Apex Mountain and you finally grab hold of your ultimate grail, it is hard to find something to go after that. So good luck with that.
So man. I'm sure we all do this, or maybe not. Tell me if I'm crazy, but like whenever you, this is the most expensive card I ever bought a few weeks ago. And so since then it's low pop and it's rare. And a lot of the people that have them, like they're just keeping them in their collection. But as soon as I bought it, there were two running on auction, or there was one running on auction when I bought it and it had like a week left. It was on alt. It sold last night. We'll get to that in a second. And then a few days ago, one got listed on Fanatics and it ends in like 2 days. I think it ends Sunday night. And then there was a buy it now on eBay for like 30,000, 20,000, and then 14,700 or something. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Like the upside on these auctions isn't crazy compared to the 10,000 that I spent because of the buy it now.
Right.
But last night on alt, it sold for 12, which was its highest sale ever, which is great. And then this morning, the buy it now for 14 something popped. So feeling much better.
Did they sell it for 14,000? Was that the actual sale?
Yeah, it's on card ladder. I went through. Yep.
That's excellent. So instant equity for you.
In theory. Yeah. In theory. And so now I feel much better about the Fanatics one. It's got like 2 days left and it's at like 11K. So love that. Love that.
Dude, that was good. Huge congratulations.
Excited about that. Not that I plan on selling it, but you know, you don't want to buy something, even if it's with the PC and then it like sell for, you know, 60%, you know, 2 weeks later. So that's great. So that's been nice.
Well, that's the opposite of what we were talking about a few days ago in our last pod with some of our fails. It's nice when you get that win. It's nice when you, even if it's a PC, you know,
For sure.
And you know, that's the good thing, you know, in this hobby, the longer you do it, the smarter you get, you know, you learn from your mistakes and then you have those opportunities. Your wins should mount up. I tell people all the time that this hobby is a lot like baseball. You know, early on you're trying to get a home run with every single sale and you have that tendency of, man, I've spent $3 on this card and I need four. I need $350. I can't give it away for two. And we all go through that. But when you start looking at it on a macro level and seeing it like baseball, it's like, okay, I'm not going to bat 1,000. No one bats 1,000, but I just want to win more than I lose. I just want to get a single here, or, you know, make a few dollars here,
some
make
big
money
are,
here on this.
Yeah, one. And some at bats you have guys on second and third, and some guys their bases loaded. Right. You know, like not every at bat or transaction in this parallel is the same. I think it's a good comparison.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, for you guys listening out there that are in the flipping game, treat it like baseball. Treat it like, hey, I don't have to win on every single card. One thing that helped me a lot too is like when I look at all of my sales, I do a sale every week and it's helpful to begin looking at your sale like a bulk sale, you know, like a bulk transaction. That way, if you sell 100 cards in that bulk transaction, some of those, like we were talking about last week, I spent, you know, the 180 for the one card and then I sold it for 99 or something like that. But if you look at it on a macro level throughout all the transactions, if I'm winning more than I'm losing, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I was telling that sale actually generated over $5,000, not profit. Like my wife is always like, is that profit? No, it's not profit. Stop bugging me with that question. but there was profit.
Oh, cash flow, honey. It's about the cash.
That's right. Come on. Get off my back. Love you. You're right about everything. And so it was over $5,000. And so the thing I was thinking about was if for these 72, 82 cards, I think is what it was. I think it was 82 cards in the auction. if you look at that, if someone would have come up to me and said, hey, Jamie, I'll give you $5,200 for these 82 cards in a second, I would have taken it. And so that's kind of how you have to look at it when you're going through some of these individual cards. It's like, you know, don't get so caught up on the losses. Look at it macro. Mm-hmm. So, at any rate,
we you move into the which costs more.
Yeah, man. Now that we're talking money and dollars, I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? You were 0-3 last time, Zach.
Surely I'll get one of these.
I feel like you will. I feel like you're going to get at least one or two. I mean, maybe two. I don't know if you'll get three. If you get three, maybe you will reverse the course here.
Let's see.
Okay. You ready?
Locked in. Here we go.
All right. So what sold for more, Zach? This is the Super Fractor edition. All right, here we go. What sold for more? A 2022 Bowman Chrome U Prospect Super Fractor 1/1 autograph of Jackson Dart in a PSA 9. I'm going to say that again because that's a mouthful.
I got it.
Okay. 2022.
I know what it looks like. I've got it in my head. I know that one. Okay.
Beautiful. Okay.
When did it sell?
So the Super Fractor, it sold on 6/29/25. So June 29th of last year.
Okay.
All right.
After the draft.
What sold for more? That card or a 2012 Upper Deck's all-time greats LeBron James 1/1 PSA authenticated auto grade 9. And that sold on February the 9th, 26. So just a couple weeks ago.
What year's the LeBron?
The LeBron is a 2012.
LeBron.
It's a 1/1. You would be wrong. You ready? I know, right?
A 2012 and it got a 10?
No. It's an auto grade 9. It's a PSA authenticated auto grade 9.
Doesn't matter. That's absurd.
So the Jackson Dart sold for $7,200 on June 29th of last year. And the Upper Deck All-Time Greats 2012 1/1 PSA authenticated auto grade 9 LeBron James sold a few weeks ago on February the 9th for $5,999. So a difference of $1,200. How about that, Zach?
That's great. That's absurd.
I mean, if you have, I mean, you got to think about it. If you have that much money, let me just buy the 1/1 LeBron and pocket an extra $1,200. What about that?
Wow.
All right.
Well, and what's crazy about, I mean, you know, I love Bowman U stuff. You know, I love it. But yes. There's a sense of like, you want to get rid of it before NFL unis come out.
Totally. Which
in June, that's the right time to sell it. It's right after the draft, training camp buzz. You might have some of the lower sets start to drop a little bit. And last year's release calendar was a little different because, you know, it was Panini's last year and they're just kind of dumping stuff. But that's absurd. Like, what is the mindset of, like, who paid for that? Like, what's the... Because it's not going to go up. It's going to go down as soon as the Prism stuff comes out. Or, I mean, I'd rather have his Donruss. Like, just plain, not even optic. I'd rather have the Donruss. Gold vinyl's out of 5, isn't it? So it wouldn't be gold vinyl. Whatever the 1/1 is for that. Like, that's just wild
to me. Yeah, it's wild to me, too. And I think you hit on a really important point. And it's
He may not sign in Panini stuff.
Maybe not. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't really care. As a LeBron collector, I'm like, yeah, give me the Bron 1/1 all day, every day, twice on Sunday versus a Jackson Dart PSA 9. I mean, this is a fresh player. I mean, LeBron's legacy is set. I mean, he's going to, when he retires, he'll do nothing. He'll do nothing but go up. When he retires,
he'll 100%. Now. So he's
Jackson signed- Dart story. Yeah, go ahead.
No, well, he has Prism draft picks where he signs. So I don't.
Okay.
He signs it. Oh yeah, he did sign in both. He signed in Prism draft picks and in Bowman.
Yeah.
I kind of remember that now. But yeah, that's insane. Okay, what's the next one? I'm 0 for 1. 0 for 4 total.
0 for 4. Okay, I feel like this, you might turn the tide here. You ready for this?
Probably not.
Zach, what sold for more? A 2025 Bowman Chrome Drake Baldwin Superfractor Rookie Auto. 1 of 1. Raw. Okay, for those of you who don't know, Drake Baldwin, Rookie of the Year, Braves player. Hot prospect.
Yep.
So what sold for more? His 1 of 1 auto raw superfractor or a 2009 Panini Prestige on card rookie auto of Steph Curry BGS 9 auto grade 10. I'll give you the dates. The Drake Baldwin sold, the superfractor Drake Baldwin sold on 11/19/25.
I might have right after he won Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm. The Steph Curry, and mind you, this is a rookie. 2009 is his rookie year. So a rookie auto, 2009 Steph Curry, BGS 9, auto 10. What sold for more?
When did the Steph sell?
The Steph sold yesterday. No, Steph. I'm sorry. It's recent, sold though. Yesterday. Yeah.
Yep. Steph.
The streak continues, my friend. You're 0 for 5.
That's 0 for insane. 2 today.
You ready for the numbers?
Yeah.
Here we go. So on 11/19/25, the 2025 Bowman Chrome Drake Baldwin Superfractor Auto Rookie 1 of 1 sold for $5,800. And yesterday,
the Steph didn't sell for rookie, that?
The rookie on card auto of Steph Curry, BGS 9, auto grade 10, sold for $3,025 yesterday. So Drake Baldwin outpaced him. I don't remember where it sold. I'd have to look that up.
Matter. That's crazy low to me. That seems like a... Like, I don't know if I've ever seen a Steph Curry, like, price that low at a show, like, in person before, let alone a rookie... Like that. That's great. Okay. All right. Wow.
Yeah. All right. Now we're going big. We're going big. Got to go out with a bang.
Finally get one.
Hey, you know what? This is where the home run happens. Here we go.
Yep.
Zach, what's sold for more? A 2025 Bowman Chrome University Superfractor 1 of 1 Fernando Mendoza BGS 9 or a 2007 Upper Deck Black Numbers White Kobe Bryant Patch Auto 1 of 1 BGS 9. That's a mouthful.
They're both autoed?
They are both. No. The Superfractor Mendoza is not autographed. It is just a Superfractor 1 of 1 BGS 9.
All right. Give me the dates.
The Kobe. Yes. The Fernando Mendoza sold 129/26. The 2007 Upper Deck Black Numbers White Kobe Bryant Patch Auto 1 of 1 sold today.
So that might have been after they won the playoff.
129. Yeah, I think that's probably after the championship.
Yeah. I know that Mendoza went for a lot. I saw the post about it. I'm trying to remember how much it was. I've seen that because it was a big deal. I don't think you're going to do the same trend 3 times in a row. So I'm going to say Kobe. I don't think it's right, though.
Final answer?
I don't know enough about old basketball cards to like understand. But so, yes, I'll go Kobe. Yeah.
You were 0 for 6, my friend.
What did the Mendoza sell for?
The Mendoza sold for $78,000.
So I had $80,000 in my head because it felt so absurd. Yeah. It felt so absurd. It's just like, what is the upside to that card?
Yeah. Wow. The Kobe sold today. The Kobe Bryant one of one patch auto. It's a beautiful card. It sold for $72,000. So a $6,000 difference between Kobe Bryant one of one.
That's just amazing. Like all of these, if you put all of those next to each other in a room and it's like, all right, you had to pick one of these. It's like, we're all picking the goats. All of us.
Yes.
With no hesitation. It's like, yeah, okay. Like that's not even, that's not Mendoza's best card because it's auto.
No.
And then once he gets drafted and he's in a Raiders uni, it's like that'll be his best card.
Right. Well, the Mendoza, remember the Mendoza's not autographed. It's just the superfractor.
Right.
Yeah.
Some people say the one of one non-auto is better than the autoed. There's some debate on that.
Okay.
But arguably not his best card. It's one of his one of two, but that's gonna change. And taking like a Kobe, that's just insane. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Man, 0 for 6, Zach. I'd call this a logical fallacy. I mean, I feel like your picks through the last two of these have been extremely logical, and they've been wrong because they're so logical. You would think.
Yeah, I mean, the hot thing to, and I think there's a lesson in this, right? The don't buy them right now. Don't buy the hot rookies. Because I'm sure there's examples of is there a Cam Scadabo card that sold for the same amount or more than a good Saquon or something? You could probably find that. Maybe next time you do that, you prep one of those. It's insane because odds Jackson Dart might be fine, but is he going to be an all-time great? Probably not. He could be, but probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
And if so, and he's in his college uni. It's a Bowman card. It's just.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. It is wild. It is wild. So on that note, let's close out with a few blind ranking finales. We're surrounded by good rookies everywhere. And so what I thought I would do is throw out some names, kind of like a TikTok, when you play those games on TikTok or Instagram, where you get a name, but you don't know what other names are coming. And based on the name you get, you number them in terms of greatness, great investment stock, 1 through 5.
Got it.
Because there's five names I'm throwing out to you in no particular order. So when I throw them out, you will place them either 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, and you won't know what's coming next. You ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Blind ranking finale for this.
Sorry, Elijah's episode. Elijah's in at the show in Nashville right now. The National or whatever.
The National. Yes.
He's got a 12K offer on the Mahomes manga. I think he turned it down, which is wild. So, okay.
Really? Yeah. He turned it down.
I think so.
Stay strong.
He needs to say yes to that. Okay, go ahead.
Are you heard it here first? All right. This is real time action. Here we go. 5 rookies, Zach, and you're going to rank them in order.
I got it. Yep. I'm ready.
Starting with the first. Here we go. First name, 1 through 5. We'll start with our boy Jackson Dart.
This is the 3 major sports.
3 major sports. You're going to have some baseball, some football, and some NBA.
I'll go Jackson Dart at 4.
Jackson at 4. Okay. Number next, Con Knipple.
He's for the Suns.
No, Khan plays for the Charlotte Bobcats.
Hornets?
Or are they the Hornets again? Are they the Hornets again? I mean, I should know this.
They are. Gosh.
But he's the big man. He's the big man competing with Rookie of the Year.
I'll put him at 3.
Okay. Next, Nick Kurtz. He is the home run hitting, heavy hitter.
He's a stud.
Baseball. Yes.
So I'm trying to think, who could you say that's better than that?
Yeah.
You could say Cooper Flagg. You could say You could say Drake Baldwin again, but like, I think I'd put Kurtz ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put him at one.
Oh, Kurtz at one. So to recap right now, you have Nick Kurtz at one. You have Con Knipple
at three. Jackson Dart at four.
That's right. Okay. Next one. Cam Ward.
I'll put him at five.
Which leaves one space for our boy Cooper Flag, number
you
two. Said
you got Cooper on there. I should have.
Yeah.
I should have guessed you would put Cooper on there. So Kurtz.
Can't not have.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You've been tricksy lately. Fine with less other than one and two. I would obviously switch Kurtz and Cooper if I could. And that's not how the game works. Knipple at three, Dart four, Cam Ward at five. I'm okay with that. I think in a perfect world, I would switch Dart and Knipple. I think I should have put Dart at three to open it up because I think he would have been good right in the middle there. But I don't hate it other than Flag should obviously be one. So
it's a good list. The cheaters list that I have when I have full access to knowing what I'm going to be showing is Cooper Flag number one, number two, Kurtz. I've had actually Jackson Dart at three. I put Cam Ward at four, and I put Knipple at five. I like Knipple. I think he's good.
Three, four, and five, I think you can make an argument for both.
Yeah.
And I thought about the discussion for investing is, like, for flipping this year, I think you could put Dart ahead of them.
For sure.
Like, if you're doing a longer-term hold, like, I might like Knipple longer just because of, like, how rookie quarterbacks go. Like, that might be a little safer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think you're splitting hairs there.
Yeah, for sure. And Knipple has hit the ground running. I mean, he has as long as injury doesn't get him, he's a baller. He's really good. He was great in college. Great in college as well.
Sure. So. All right. I think that's another one of the books, my guy.
All right, another one of the books. Had a lot of fun.
Yes. Yes, sir. Hey, please subscribe. Please check out auburn.cards on Instagram. We'll see you next time. This has been Let's Talk Cards.